Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come together and just to worship you. Father, I ask that you be with each person that is here, each person that is striving to chase after you. Lord, will you open their hearts and minds? Lord, may we just lay aside anything that is holding us back. Lord, we thank you for your offerings as well. May we use it for your glory. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed."
He was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed.
He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sin. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed.
We are healed by your own sacrifice, a life that you gave.
The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 11, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open." And Jesus is talking about seeking after him for our faith and for our saving grace. And I just want to encourage you this morning on the My Three, that we're praying for others that they may ask, that they may seek, so that the door may be open. Because we know it's only through Jesus that we are saved. And that's why we do My Three, is because we know it's only Christ that can transform a life. And so what I want you to do inside of this moment is I want you to think of those three people in your life that don't know Jesus. and I want you to lift them up in prayer by name this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we all know people that don't know you. We all know people that are walking around with no knowledge of who you are and your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we lift them up by name right now, because Lord, we know you're the one who transforms lives. And we thank you for the way that you hear us in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
Well, good morning, church. You know, it's so good to be here this morning with each of you. I want to welcome everybody that's here this morning. I also want to welcome our guests that are joining us today and those joining us online in the radio. We are truly thankful for you. And before we dive into the message this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to praise and to worship you, that we can come together and fellowship and just worship you. Lord, I ask that your words are spoken this morning and not my own. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Lord, open each of our hearts, each of our minds. May we learn who you are in a greater way. May we never stop striving for that. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm just going to give you guys a heads up right from the beginning. This morning, our passage is fairly loaded. Inside, it almost feels like we have six different mini lessons that we're going to learn from the scriptures. Six different things for us to pay attention to as we work through this. You see, this morning we see Jesus interacting with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law at a meal that he was invited to. And this is a little different than what we saw last week, where Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha, where they welcomed him in and they welcomed his disciples. And it was inside of that passage that we were reminded that life is full of choices and that life is full of distractions. Something that all of us are very familiar with. I don't think there's any of us here who don't have distractions and choices that we have to make each and every day. And in the text last week, we saw Mary and Martha both having a different reaction to Jesus and his presence in their home. On one hand, we had Martha, who was excited to have Jesus there. I mean, who can blame her? You got Jesus in your house. That would be an exciting time at that moment. And Martha wanted to do everything she could to be a good host for him and the disciples. You know, the Bible told us that she immediately invited them in. She would have provided Jesus and his disciple a bowl to be able to wash their feet so that they were cleaned up. She would have been preparing a meal for them to sit down and eat. She was just trying to be a good host. But here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with Martha wanting to be a good host. But we saw that she allowed all those distractions, all those desires to be a good host, to fulfill her social obligations, to keep her from seeing what was truly important in life. She allowed the busyness of life to distract her from Jesus. But her sister Mary, on the other hand, chose the right thing. She put aside all the other things, and she went and she sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to everything he was saying and teaching them. It's so easy for us to become distracted by the world around us. It's really easy for us to become Martha in life's busyness, to the point that we miss what's truly important. Inside the text this morning, though, we see this as well. But in this case, we see the Pharisees being so busy with trying to keep the letter of the law that they forgot the heart of the law. We see the Pharisees and the teachers so obsessed with trying to be these perfect people that they lead others astray. They completely forgot that their faith is to shine from the inside out, not from the outside in. That it's more about where our heart is. And for anyone who wants to follow along, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11 this morning, in verses 37 through 54. You know, the Pharisees and Jesus were not exactly what we would call friends, right? They were not what we would call comrades, buddies, pals. So it's kind of surprising on how this passage starts off. It tells us in verse 37, and so as he was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him, so he went in and reclined at the table. As Jesus was teaching, a Pharisee came up and asked him to join him for a meal. Now, you see, the Pharisees were the religious elite of the day. These were the men that everyone looked to on how they should live their life. These were the men that were often considered some of the top religious scholars of their day. Yet they were not big fans of Jesus. They didn't like him. They didn't like his teachings, the things that he was doing and saying. And to be fair, he did call them a brood of vipers at one point. He did call them the sons of the devil at another point. But nevertheless, they invited him to the mid-morning meal. And some scholars believe the reason they did this is to try to set a trap for Jesus. Well, when Jesus got there, he started to recline at the table, and it tells us in verse 38, when the Pharisees saw this, he was amazed that he did not first perform the ritual washing before dinner. It clearly did not take long for Jesus to upset them. And when we read this, we may think, ew, Jesus didn't wash his hands before he ate? But I want you to understand, we're thinking about going over to a sink, getting the soap out, and washing our hands for sanitary purposes. That's a good thing to do. This is not what we're talking about, though, inside of this passage. Instead, this practice of ritual washing of your hands before you would eat is something that the Pharisees thought everyone had to do. It's something that they practiced. And all they would do is they would get a bowl out and a pitcher with some water, and they would pour it over both hands up to their wrists. That's it. There was nothing about cleanliness in that process. This was about washing away contaminations from touching anyone or anything that was considered unclean, aka unholy. This would be like saying you have to do a ritual cleaning before you come into church because you shook the hand of an unbeliever. Think about that. That's what they're saying. And since Jesus didn't do that, they were freaking out. But Jesus, being Jesus, responded in verse 39 to 41, where he says, "But the Lord said to him, 'Now you Pharisees clean the outside of your cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and evil. Fools, didn't he who made the outside make the inside too? But give from what is within to the poor, and then everything is clean for you.'" Jesus didn't mince any words when he responded. You see, the Pharisees were always concerned on how they appeared to others. They were always concerned what others thought of them. They would act one way in public and another way in private. When they were out in public, they acted in such a way to make themselves look holier than everyone else around them. It was all about appearance to them. And here we see Jesus telling them that the outside doesn't matter. What's really important is the inside. And this is true to this very day in our own walk with Jesus. You know, we can go to church every week. We can even make sure that we get up an hour earlier so that we make Sunday school. And when we walk into church, we can have our best dressed clothes on. We can have a Bible in our hand. We can stand and say the most beautiful rehearsed prayers that we can come up with. We can lift up our hands and sing worship songs over and over again. We can greet people with a smile and shake a hand with everyone we see. We can put on a facade for an hour or two every Sunday morning. But if come Monday, you're lying, stealing, and cheating to get ahead at your job, if come Monday you're cheating or abusing your spouse, if come Monday you look no different than the world around you, you have a problem. You are no better than the Pharisees inside of this passage. You see, you may have cleaned the outside up of your life to make yourself appear good in that moment, but that never takes away from what's truly happening on the inside. And that's what Jesus was telling them in this moment. You can try and deceive others all you want, but you're not tricking God. You can go through all the motions of religion, but if you've not repented and turned from your old way of life, it does you no good. If you've not allowed God to transform you from the inside out, you have a problem. There's a reason the Bible warns us that in the end, many will say, "Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name?" And he says, "Away from me, I never knew you." It comes down to our heart, and are we walking with Jesus? You see, the Pharisees were the best at going through the motions. They were the best at making themselves look holy, but they completely missed the purpose of what God had called them to. And after Jesus had said all of this, he starts diving into six woes, three to the Pharisees, and three to the teachers of the law that were also at this dinner, giving them a warning and instructions about authentic faith and walking it out. The first woe that Jesus gave them is found in verse 42, where he says, "But woe to you, Pharisees, you give a tenth of mint, rue, and every kind of herb, and you bypass justice and love for God. These things you should have done without neglecting the others." Now, the Pharisees were obsessed with the tiniest detail of the law, the tiniest detail of the customs and traditions that they grew up in. And one of the customs that they grew up in was giving 10% to the temple. This is where we get our instructions for tithing and so forth. And Jesus isn't saying anything against tithing. You know, giving to the church, giving to the poor, helping missionaries, these are all good things. Helping those that are less fortunate in us than us is important as believers to be Jesus' hands and feet. But you see, the Pharisees, they wanted to make sure that they look better than everyone else. So they would go out to their little herb gardens, their little things that they had, and they would literally count the tiniest little leaves to make sure that they had the exact right amount of 10%. They were going out of their way to make sure that they were perfect in their eyes. And when they gave, they made sure everybody saw them. The problem was, though, they neglected the greater and more important things in life. Here they were worried about this tiny little leaf in their garden, but they completely forgot about justice and love of God and others. They completely forgot the greatest command of all, to love God and to love others. You know, we can give, 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 but if we're doing it for all the wrong reasons, it means nothing. It's about where our heart is when we give. And Jesus continued into the second woe, which is found in 43. And he says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, you love the front seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace." You see, for the Pharisees, everything was about them. When they were in the synagogues, they sat at the most prominent position, a place where everybody could see them. When they went to the marketplace, they made sure everyone knew that they were there, that all eyes were on them because it was all about them. They loved to be called rabbi and teacher. The problem is they forgot that those titles come with responsibilities. A responsibility to serve the world around them, to be there for the sick, to be there for the brokenhearted. They forgot to care for the widows and the orphans. They forgot to love God and to love others. And I pray that we are not like the Pharisees, that we don't look to elevate ourselves. Instead, may we present Christ to everyone we see. May we remember to love God and to love others. You know, the Pharisees may have looked respectable on the outside, but on the inside, they were completely rotten to the core. Which brings us to our third woe, where Jesus said in verse 44, "Woe to you, you are like unmarked graves. The people who walk over them don't know." This would have been an absolutely shocking phrase for the Pharisees to hear. Jesus is saying that they're not leading people to heaven. Instead, they're leading people to hell. You see, underneath the Old Testament law, any contact with anything dead or anything connected to a dead person made you ritually unclean and disqualified you from worship. Every Jewish grave was supposed to be clearly marked so that when someone would come along, they wouldn't accidentally touch the grave and become unclean. And here Jesus was accusing the Pharisees of being unmarked graves, that they're the ones that are causing people to be unclean and unholy. And in the Pharisees' eyes, this could not be true. You know, they believed they were the holiest of the holy people, that there was no one more clean than them. Yet Jesus was accusing them of being unmarked graves. You know, for us as Christians, this is a woe that is easy for us to fall into. We can come to church every week. We can carry our Bibles. We can even memorize some verses. But we can also start shifting our minds and thinking that we're better than everyone else, that we're holier than everyone else, forgetting that it was grace and mercy that God showed us, forgetting that we too are sinners in need of a Savior. And we can start becoming a stumbling block for others to come to Christ, because we're no longer showing his grace and mercy to the world around us, forgetting that it was Jesus that transformed our lives, and forgetting that Jesus can transform others as well. And when Jesus said all of this, as you can imagine, it did not sit well with the guests that were sitting there. Everybody is listening to everything he is saying. And I mean, realistically, he's throwing punches at them. He's making it difficult for them. And that's when one of them pops up and says in verse 45, one of the experts of the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us too." You know, it's never fun to be called out. And these experts of the law, also known as the teachers of the law, were not happy with what Jesus was saying. You see, he was challenging their very way of life. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you wish you would have just kept your mouth shut? You ever had one of those moments you're just like, why did I open my mouth and say it just made it worse? I can almost assure you the teacher of the law in this moment would have wished he kept his mouth shut. Because it's at this point that Jesus shifts gears from the Pharisees and over to the teachers of the law, to the experts. And this is where we get our fourth woe in verse 46. And it says, when he said, "Woe also to you experts in the law, you load people with burdens that are hard to carry, and yet you yourself don't touch these burdens with one of your fingers." It's here we see Jesus condemning them for crushing people beneath impossible religious demands that they gave them. Things that people never would have been able to keep up with. Let me give you an example. In the Bible, it tells us to keep the Sabbath day holy. And I'm sure most of you have heard that at one point in your life or another. But the teachers, these religious leaders and stuff, took it a step further than ever before. They gave instructions on how far a person could walk on the Sabbath. You had a limit of how far you could go. They gave instructions on what kind of knots you could tie on the Sabbath, making it real restrictive. They had instructions on how much weight you could carry on the Sabbath. And the list goes on and on and on. And all of these things have nothing to do with salvation. These were rules that they just kept imposing. And they were so ruthless at imposing these rules. If you were caught breaking them, you wouldn't be allowed in the temple. If you were caught breaking them, you had to do different things to get yourself right again. And they made these rules their focus. And they didn't show people how they're supposed to love God and love others. They just turned it into this big, confusing list of do's and don'ts. You know, and part of us, we want to laugh, we want to kind of cry at this whole idea because it does sound a little crazy to us. But in reality, it's not hard for us to slip into that same list of do's and don'ts in our own faith, is it? You know, I had a young lady one time come up to me and she said, "Pastor Tim, I really want to be a Christian, but I can't remember all the rules." In her mind, how she had been brought up, faith was nothing but a list of do's and don'ts. In her mind, it wasn't about love, it wasn't about justice, it wasn't about grace. It was simply a list of do's and don'ts. We need to make sure that us as believers, that we're not making our faith complicated, that we're not adding burdens to others with things that have nothing to do with God's saving grace and a call to a holy life. Remembering it's God who transforms people from the inside out. That no amount of going through religious tradition is going to save anyone. Instead, it's all about a relationship with Jesus. Because it's only through Jesus that we're saved. It's only through Jesus that we're transformed from the inside out. And when we lose that focus, we can become guilty of the fifth woe, which it tells us, 47 to 51, kind of a long section. "Woe to you, you build tombs for the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Therefore, you are the witness that you approved the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you built their monuments. Because of this, the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them will kill and persecute.'" so that this generation may be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary, yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible. You see, for generations, God sent prophets and teachers to the Israelites, warning them of where they had fallen short, encouraging them to turn back to Him, to show mercy and love even to the least of these. Yet for generations, so often when you read through the Old Testament, we see it over and over again, they killed the prophets or they toss them out. And it wasn't until later that they realized the importance of everything that the prophet was saying. And now Jesus is telling them, hey, you're about to do the same thing again. You're about to do it again. God sent the Messiah. He sent Jesus. The very one the text told them about was sitting right in front of them. And they were going to have him killed. He's calling them out. You know, they had built up this religion and they had made all of their actions and everything this cornerstone of their faith instead of God. And how quickly can we do the same thing? Where we make our traditions, where we make everything we do the cornerstone of our faith instead of allowing it to be Jesus, what we're called to do. They had taken the word of God and they had twisted it to the point that we have our sixth and final woe in verse 52. And it says, woe to you experts in the law. You have taken away the key to knowledge, and you didn't go to yourself, and you hindered those who were trying to go in. You know, the experts of the law should have had more knowledge than anyone else about God's work. And I want you guys to understand, the experts of the law were basically like our seminary professors. This is all they did all day long, was study God's word in and out of details. These were the ones who, this was literally how they made their living, was just simply that. They should have had more knowledge about God's word than anyone else. They should have had more knowledge about the law. They should have had more knowledge about what God's work is. They should have known what God's saving plan was that was laid out in the Old Testament pointing to Jesus. But they had taken the word and what God had given them and reinterpreted it, misrepresented it, and twisted it so far that knowledge was no longer even used to understand it. Their religion became nothing more than working their way into heaven, nothing more than following a bunch of rules, even if it meant not showing mercy, grace to others. And they allowed their religion to become a burden to the world around them. There was no room for grace. There was no room for mercy. And there was no room for love. Sometimes we can get so caught up in our traditions and so caught up in the way that we've always done things that it actually becomes a hindrance for others to come to know who Jesus is. Forgetting that our faith is all about a relationship with Jesus. Forgetting that our faith is all about Jesus and allowing Him to transform us from the inside out. That our faith is not based on what we've done, but on what Christ has done on the cross. And when we find ourselves challenged on our faith, when we start slipping like the Pharisees did, we can do the very same thing that they did inside of this moment. And it says in verse 53 and 54, it says, when they left there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to oppose Him fiercely and cross-examine Him about many things. They were lying in wait for Him to trap Him in something He said. They wanted to get rid of Jesus, and bless you. We have a choice to make today. Each and every one of us have a choice that we have to make. We can either put on a false facade, pretend to be holier than everyone around us, try to remember a whole bunch of rules, and try to walk this perfect life that we think that we're supposed to have. And forget all about love and mercy and trying to keep the letter of the law, or we can humble ourselves. We can allow Christ to transform us from the inside out, to be His hands and feet to the world around us, remembering that it's only Christ that saves us, remembering the words of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. And it says, "Mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what is the Lord's requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, to walk humbly with our God." And I pray that you choose that today. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, may we just search our own hearts. May we search our own minds. Lord, may we not live as the Pharisees did. But Lord, may we act justly. May we love faithfulness. And may we walk humbly in you. Lord, as we go out this week, may we represent you well. May we not be a stumbling block to the world around us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your example in your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. To the world around you. May you show love and mercy to everyone you see, that they may see Christ shine from the inside out. May we not have to put on a facade, but may we truly represent Christ in everything we do. God bless and have a great week.
The fire that battles you.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.